Hey, what's happening?
Hi, we're on.
We made it happen.
We made it happen.
Don't hold it to me to try and confuse things. I was just trying to, you know, give you the big time.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
But I see the limitation. So we don't work right here.
So we're officially like live. Like everybody who's listening to us can hear us right now. So just letting you know.
Excited. Happy to be here.
All right. So let me introduce, right?
Sure.
So people out in, I don't know, the Wi-Fi land, whatever we want to call it, right? All right. So welcome back to the show. Again, my name is Nelia. This was the second episode of Healing All Year. And again, so you can follow me. It's my IG is Nick_name_Esco. And today's episode, we're going to talk about healing all year for men and how that shows up for them. This is going to be a two-part episode, so you could be on the lookout for the next one. All right. So now we have a special guest, an old friend from college. Not too old, right?
No.
Who's absolutely the dopest writer that I know. We're going to introduce to you, drum roll, Khalil. So Khalil's a writer and a social media manager who has had his work featured on sites such as Bossip and Madame Noir. He currently works as an assistant social media manager with the Daily Mail, and you can also follow him on Instagram at Damn It Pops. Hand clap. We're gonna insert like a little hand clap here, so when you hear it, you know. Hand clap.
Sounds good.
Hi Khalil, how are you? How's everything?
I'm well. I'm maintaining. How are you?
Good. Same. Nervous, but you know, we're working.
For sure.
Okay, so we're gonna get right into it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. So how are you feeling today?
Today I feel good.
You feel good?
Today I feel pretty good. I thought it was a fairly productive day.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
So what's your relationship with healing?
I think my relationship with healing, I don't know if I could put a name on it, but I think I am comfortable at this stage with the process of healing. Mm. And I probably attribute a lot of my comfortability with just how I was raised, or, you know, how my mother has always given me like a holistic kind of view of things, like, you know, trying to see things from different angles. And with that foundation, I think I have approached things that have hurt me, I think I've approached it in more of a healthy way than more times than not.
Wow.
I would say.
Okay. That's,
yeah,
that's more than I can say about my healing, but you know, this is,
I'm no robot, you know. I think part of healing is like you have to feel, you know. So I've been there. I felt, you know, bad, but I think I've done a good job at figuring out how to bounce back from things. So I'm fortunate in that sense.
The good part about this podcast is that it's just showing everyone how different healing really is, right? And how different you heal versus how I heal versus how the next woman or man heals versus mm-hmm. just individually how we do that. Mm-hmm. So what does healing all year mean to you?
Well, I think there's been several instances in my life where things might have happened to me, and I might have been upset about it, sad about it, whatever the case. And I think healing all year for me means just finding things that fill you and enrich you. You know, some of those things you don't always necessarily have to seek. Some of those things are things that you already enjoy doing. You know, mm-hmm. you might have outlets already, but it's taking notice of these things around you, using those things as tools to help you, you know, get through rough patches. I think that's part of it.
Good. Yeah.
I think the other part is just, you know, It's kind of hit or miss. Hopefully you have someone you can confide in, some sort of support system. If not, that's the thing you might have to seek, which might be one of the harder parts. But I think for me, once I figured out, certain things that really do bring me joy, it allowed me to find things I could throw myself into to help the days not feel as long, essentially.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you have positive coping skills.
Eventually, I do. I mean, it depending on the circumstance that you're going through, I think it could be easier to have those, and it could be tougher to have those, depending on what went left in your life and what are you inundated with in your face every day. So you can, like, let's say you go through a heartbreak, maybe you can get through that fairly easily by working on yourself, understanding what happened, and filling your time with positive things. Let's say it's a situation where maybe you lose a job, but you see you see everyone else being able to move at their own pace, and you got to take a step back. That might show up in their head a little bit more than a heartbreak, because it's like, okay, you kind of know eventually there'll be someone else, and I guess in regards to work, there'll eventually be another job, but the urgency or the necessity of having capital in this world, it's so much more tangible than just like,
Having a whole relationship.
it's the weight that it holds on a daily basis. It's just a it's a different capacity, and I just think you feel it differently. So I think it just it's going to vary, how these things look. That's all.
Especially with like, right? Like, so our topic is about men, right? And how men, in my experience, how men have held off on their healing because like they want to get this career off, they want to like make the most money, and they'll push a lot of things to the side. Just to be able to like just move forward in a little bit of capacity and just be like, all right, I'll deal with that later. So can you like tell us a time when like you felt like you started your healing journey? I know you mentioned like, it kind of started like when you were younger with your mom and giving you more holistic attributes or words.
I'll give you an example. This is probably something I've written about way in the past, but it's
Oh,
like,
so let's go do a shameless plug, right? All of Khalil's work are mostly on his Instagram, but like everybody needs to like legit read his articles. Like
I wouldn't mind.
they're insightful. They'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry, but they'll also make you like think about a different perspective. I know me and Khalil have had some back and forth on some of his articles because they're so like, wow, Khalil, like this is really what you think of. But I feel like this is also parts of like how you've healed, right? It's like through your writing.
Oh,
But
without question. I don't, I'm glad I picked it up when I did.
shameless plug, shameless plug.
I appreciate it. I think, you asked me like a point where I had to like begin
Start.
healing. I would say, like, when I first started college, well, I guess after my first year, I went through a heartbreak after my first year. And I didn't, I guess the young lady I was seeing at the time, she was I don't know, she represented like this person that I had never imagined a woman being, in terms of like, I thought she was very multifaceted. She just was really talented, really funny. And just how things panned out, she was just gone like that. And I'm like, damn, I had never opened up to someone the way I had opened up to her at that time. And I was like, shit, what am I supposed to do? You felt so attached to for so long, and it just doesn't work out. I just felt lost, and so I had all these visions, obviously, of what could have been at the time, and it was just not gonna happen. And so what ended up happening was, I was upset, went through like a anger period, which I think is good. I think anger is good. And I think at some point I had to ask myself, how long are you going to be angry, right?
You
And
asked
so,
yourself that.
yeah, because
Okay.
I, you know, what's the next step after a while? Because being angry is not who I am. You know, I'm pretty easygoing. So I thought to myself, well, if she dropped dead right now, would you go to her funeral? That's the most extreme case, I thought to myself.
That was very extreme. Very.
Yeah, but I said, but that's what I felt I needed to tell myself. And I said, well, if she dropped dead right now, I probably would go to a funeral. So I said, well, you know, you don't really, if that's the case, you don't really hate this person. You know? And at that point, I kind of softened up, like, all right, then. So this didn't go my way. And, you know, I can't move on in life with this thing on my back, you know, pretty much bitching that it didn't go my way. You know,
not this, getting this over happened. It.
Yeah, like this thing happens every day, and you just gotta keep it pushing. And so that was the beginning of the healing. And then what happened at that point, kind of funny, going into my second year, I took this class called Psychology of Love. It was an elective.
Oh,
I was a psych major.
Professor Campbell.
Oh, you know, you see? You know what time it is.
I took the class too.
Oh, see that? Look at that.
So everyone out there, we went to what was originally CW Post, which is now watered down, you know. I mean, they can always sponsor me. I'm okay with that too. But watered down to LIU Post. So, you know, we're like the original last of a dying breed. So,
indeed we are.
So go ahead. So you took Professor Campbell's, giving her a plug too. Professor Campbell's class.
Yeah, and I just when I saw it available, I was just kind of like, wow, that must be like some sort of a sign that like you should just take it. And I took it, and I got a lot from it. I still got my textbook from it. I understood. It helped me understand what was happening to me at the time, or you know, what was happening, especially like initially. And that played a big role. So, I mean, a tip I would give people is to educate yourself. What I did, that, you know, I had a whole summer to kind of process what had happened, you know, the prior spring. And I read books. I just happened to read some books that, like, just enriched my mentality. You know, so I listened. I read Letters to a Young Brother by Hill Harper. Which was cool, because then you get to see people, see black men write from a more of a vulnerable space. And to see, like, again, we all go through these types of things, you know, all kinds of experiences. And that just further allowed me to see, like, oh, this is just things that happen, man.
This is normal.
Yeah.
Like, normalizing the fact that we're in pain and that, like, we're hurting. And it's a normal thing. And I think that, you know, especially like in the black and brown communities, I feel like we don't, I put this post up today about like, what would it look like if like little boys were able to just be them with all emotions? Because a lot of times we like to say like, you know, suck it up, or like, you know, we'll genderize it, and we'll say like, you know, you're acting like a girl. Because girls have more emotions, and girls cry, and then boys will grow up and be like, no, I don't have any emotions. And, you know, being working in a high school, like, I always tell the boys, like, your anger is an emotion. And having that conversation about it's real, like, these things are real. And just like how it would look like if little boys were able to just express themselves in their natural state, like, how dope and amazing husbands would they be?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I just think that our cultures are not, or society, let me not say our culture, I think society is not ready for, unfortunately, for black and brown boys to like live their full authentic selves, because like
it's a process. I think we're at a better place than we were, but it's still tons of work to do. I think mainly because what rules the society is white male ideology.
Yep.
And until that, we're continuing to chip at that. That's just going to continue to take work. It takes work from so many directions to continue to normalize, you know, what we're talking about now. And a lot of it starts at home, but, you know, it's also just a balance. I think you know, fortunately with, you know, with the raising children today, I'm pretty sure I don't have any, but I'm pretty sure you have to like armor your kid with, you
The
gotta give them
tools.
love, but yeah,
Yeah.
but you also gotta tell them like, yo, this it's a cold world out there, and
Yep.
those are just things that other races of kids just don't necessarily have to know.
Yeah. Or have to like necessarily
You
deal
know.
with on a
Yeah.
everyday level. Yeah, I agree with that. And
So
I
it's
think
like a it's a balance. It's a weird balance. I don't know the right way to go about it.
And you were mentioning about like the vulnerability. So you feel like this book, which I know I have, I do not remember the title of it to like give our listeners like the title, but I'll find it and maybe post it. So you feel like taking this class, The Psychology of Love, gave you more tools than you already had in your toolbox, but allowed you to be like more vulnerable, and like reading the Hill Harper book and seeing how
Oh
Black
yeah.
men are being portrayed, like it gave you a different idea.
Yes. I think the class put names to what I was feeling. Like the class let me know like that there was chemical changes happening when I was starting to feel this person. And now your body is like assimilating itself to life without this person in that way. And so now your body's trying to like rebalance itself to whatever it was prior to meeting this person, and that fucks you up a little bit. And it was just good to know, okay, well shoot, I'm not the only one, bugging from this experience. Like this sort of has to happen when you allow yourself to get to know somebody and care for them and things of that nature. These types of things have the potential of happening.
That's
And so what it
that's
also
a
helped
yeah, go
me
ahead.
in going forward. Because I'm like, all right, if this was the first, there might be a next one. And when it happened another time, I think it made it easier for me not to dwell so much. Then I wouldn't say it hurt any less when I, when another situation didn't work out. But it was so much more easier to know that, yo, I'm gonna be fine. I think when it initially happens, you worry yourself, when does this end? And when does this like do when do things get better? And now that you know things get better, moving on, it's like, all right, cool. I know things get better. We I figured this part out right here. It's kind of like finding a way to navigate this. It's almost a project necessary. You don't welcome the project, but it's a project nonetheless to just figure things out.
It's that middle part that's like always the toughest for me. I always say that I don't like the middle process. Like I always say I don't know how I join my sorority because I don't like the process of like I'd rather just get on and just cross and that's it. Like go to the gym and tomorrow I'm skinny.
Sure.
So yeah, so I think in retrospect, I think we're pretty safe to say like we're pretty equal, men and women in the sense, or at least you and I on like the healing journey regarding the biology behind it, right? Like we're all humans, we all like bleed the same.
Right.
And relationships are difficult, and there's especially at that age, at like 20,
Oh
right?
yeah. Oh
Like
yeah. Or below that. I was stupid young. I
so
was
was
like
I.
18 the first time this happened.
Me
I was
too.
stupid young.
Yeah, and
Good
just getting
night.
into like the groove of thing and thinking, especially feeling like even as an adult, me in my last relationship, I really felt like I was the only one. Like I was the only one going through this stuff. I was the only one who was hurting. And it's just like, and I think that's where like
Oh no.
vulnerability comes in, right? And like you get to like speak about it and be like, okay, so this happened to me. Like, did this happen to you? And then somebody else is like, yeah, this happened to me. But most of the time, I know for me, I mean, I have guy friends, but like we don't have these vulnerable conversations about like, so.
But they also may not be vulnerable. You got to allow yourself to be that way too.
Oh
That's
yeah,
also a decision you make,
it is a
That's how
choice.
I feel at least, So there's some people that just have a wall up. And that's just how they choose to be. But I personally don't believe you can experience, like, I guess, full, at least in a romantic sense. I don't think you can experience real love, or even in a pragmatic sense, even with just in the personal relationships you have with people. I don't know if you can experience genuine connections with people if you're gonna have it guard up with everybody. You gotta trust somebody.
And you don't get to heal, right? Like you don't get to heal.
No.
You do not get to heal. And I'm also talking to myself about this, right? But you don't get to heal when your walls are up. You don't get to heal when these barriers are keeping you in, or like the story, right? Like the story of what happened, the story of you not being enough, or the story of like, oh, it was her fault or it was his fault. And like not really taking accountability of, because regardless of what happened, right? Like we all have accountability in the relationship. We all
Something to take away. There's always something to take away.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I definitely agree with that.
So why do you think that part of your relationship or that part of your life, you was like, you know what? Like, I need to figure this out. Like, and not fix it, right? Because like, we're not broken. Right, like I always like people be like, oh, people are broken. I don't think anybody's broken. That's just my own. The social worker in me is just like, that's not real. But like, what made you want to like heal from it and not take that and be like, fuck these bitches, I'm done. I'm gonna go have like a whole spree of women coming in and out of my room and in Brookville. Like,
well, I won't say that. I definitely had a phase afterwards where I just was not allowing myself to feel for anyone else.
So what clicked? Like, what made you want to get out of that and be like, all right, this is enough. I want more.
Well,
I want something different.
Well, I think even during that period, I had been working on myself. Me being unhappy is just not who I am. I'm not an unhappy person. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to work on enjoying that time of my life. I was still 19. Why am I going to be angry at 19? That's stupid. That's just how I felt. I'm like, I'm here, and there's going to be other people in the future, and I'm not trying to make anyone else's life trash. So, I wanted to try and be better. So I worked on that, you know, and eventually I met someone that I felt safe opening up with.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly. And it was a struggle, I think, if, you know, I'm sure she was thinking it was definitely a struggle. But I was much better at, she allowed me to be more vocal and more vulnerable than, I guess, anyone in that interim.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got a lot of growth out of that situation. So I mean, I didn't necessarily want to do it for her, but it was just a result of
being with her. Each other. Yeah,
yeah.
Do you feel she gave you like space as a Black man to express your emotions?
Oh yeah, man. She was. I look back on it in hindsight, like in that regard, she was really good. She wasn't judgmental. She wasn't nothing. Like she was really supportive and really vocalized the importance of with it being okay to feel emotion and expressing yourself and things of that nature. She was huge on that. I can't front.
So that gave you like the okay. So
even then it took me like a little bit. I was like, all right, bit. I think she's serious. I think she's the coast is clear.
So like even like your upbringing and like having your mom around to like show you those like little words or like the examples, right? Because growing up, like we don't really know the words, but we just see, like we repeat what we see. So you had that background. Then you had like this girl, this young lady in your life who like gave you that space.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you feel like women, I want to say this like politically correct, right? Do you feel like women should always, do you feel like women should hold those spaces for men during their transition time? Or should it be where like, you know, men should go out, get their own healing, go to therapy, like, you know, before they get into like relationship type?
No, I don't think that's a woman's job per se.
I don't think so either.
I'm fortunate. My mother was a social worker. She just had that experience. She just she sees the world that way. You know what I mean? That's why I grew up with that foundation.
That gives me hope for having kids. And
yeah, she my mother My mother was very realistic about so many, and she could tell when things were just off with me. And she's into encouraging, and I'm just lucky to have her as a mother and her being that way. She's not that's just a rare type of person. And then further along, oh, this last young lady that we're referring to, it wasn't her job either. I just think I think she genuinely wanted me to just connect with her. I thought we were, but I guess there were still guards that I had up. I might not even have noticed because I got so used to just moving how I was moving, and I didn't want, I wanted to get closer to her too. So those were like coincidences. But all the while, I had always been continuing to enrich myself with knowledge and just trying to approach days with more vigor. So I was always doing that. It's a process. It's all a process.
That's literally like the theme of healing all year and where it came from. Like, it's basically like you can take your healing by the horns and go do it at any given time. Like, today we can do it, and then 3 months from now you're like, you know what, I'm feeling hurt, I want to pause, and then like
Oh
we
yeah,
pick
I
it up
mean
another time. Like, it's
it,
literally you can heal any part, any time. Healing all year, anytime you want, you could heal.
it takes time, and everybody has, what I don't want to stigmatize, but I guess you could call it weak moments, for lack of a better term.
Not
Everyone
weak.
has those,
Everybody has those. I mean, I'm gonna let you rock with the weak. Like, that's fine,
I
right?
mean,
Because
like I said,
I
I
agree
don't
with
have the
you.
right terminology,
No, but
but
I agree
you have
with you.
moments where you kind of there's lulls. They call it
Yeah, lows.
lulls,
Yeah, let's call it lows. Let's call it lows. Let's be like
right?
positive
And
out here. Lows. Okay, I'm with
and those things happen, and again, that's just part of the process to me. But again, I only know this because I made the choice to open myself up. Like, if you don't make those choices, you can't experience that and know what it is to come out of it. So I made those choices, and I also just knew I just didn't want to be angry. That was not who I am. I'm trying to have a good time, and I didn't want that weight on me.
I
So.
think I agree with you on the choice is a real, the like a choice is real, right? Because when you're not making a choice, you're still making a choice. And I think
Yes.
the choosing to heal, choosing to like get through your pain is the hardest thing ever to do. It's so much easier to say, you know what, I'm angry. I'm gonna stay being angry. I'm mad at the world, and it's difficult.
Right.
But how do we give that grace to men and their healing? Like, besides like what we spoke about earlier about the society of it, like the stigma behind men and healing. Like why do you think we have those things? Like, how do we get through them?
Why do we have them? I don't know who created this. I don't know why it is that way. I think it's like osmosis.
It
It
just
just
is. It just is.
we inherit it. Yeah, it's
Oh yeah.
I just I you know I don't know why it's that way. I can't call it.
I think for me personally, I think it came from like the fact that we as black and brown communities, right, we're like slave ships coming over. We are powerful beings, and the colonizers needed to suppress us in some sort of way. And like, I feel like emotions, and suppressing our choice of words and being able to vocalize how we're feeling, I think is the ultimate type of like imprisonment. And
That's possible.
I think that was like, I don't know, right? Because you weren't there, but like, I'm only speculating, a form of oppression, right? Like, if we have
Definitely a form of
men,
control.
not be able
Yeah.
to like express themselves, and they can't talk back, they can't like say or do anything. And then I think that conversation like trickles down, and this is why we have like the generational trauma and the violence in our communities, because it's a domino effect of that. But
No, you're probably right. That's actually very insightful
I try.
and astute.
So how do you think like we can I want to say abolish, right? Because like abolish the stigma behind black and brown men being able to like heal.
Well, I think it starts with you. Like I think it's like I think it starts with me. I think from being a person that I want to be, the kind of man I want to be to the people around me. So that means, you know, the guys that I know that I hang out with, people that I'm cool with, they should feel comfortable being vulnerable. Not necessarily me, but even, you know, anyone else that's in the crew, that support should be there for when they have their moments. Everyone is not going to be, everyone doesn't have the same relationship with everyone. So that's unrealistic in that sense. But, you know, there should be people that you know that you can open up with, that you know can give you support, give you insight, give you know good advice, and share their own experiences with you regarding certain things. I think I'm fortunate to have people like that in my life, in my family, and I have people like that in my group of friends that I can be that way with. I believe I am that person for a number of people as well, and that's fine. So I think it's a high compliment. When someone believes that they can confide in you with certain things and would like your input to help give them context. And I think that is how you go about abolishing some of these stigmas. You just gotta get enough men to speaking on them. We gotta get men on board with the idea of vulnerability not being, or being vulnerable not being a negative thing, and understanding when it's okay to be vulnerable. Like it's, you know, it's a dance like anything else. Everything within reason, you know. So knowing when you should be vulnerable to someone, when it's worth being vulnerable to someone, and that, you know, it's not, again, we're talking about weakness and things of that nature. So knowing that it's not weak to be vulnerable, but it's very human. And I like to say that you're not gonna, again, you're not gonna experience life, I feel, the way that you really genuinely should if you go through it without being vulnerable. There's a lot that you're cheating yourself out of by you know, putting up certain walls.
I agree with you. So what I'm hearing you say is like a good circle, a positive influences of people, of like-minded people who are able to like lead you and give you feedback on that. And then you taking your own journey into your own hands.
Well, yeah, I think that, and I think the more people that do that, I would hope it rubs off on other people that see it and inspires them to say, shit, well,
If he's
I
doing
didn't
it.
know, yeah, I didn't even know that was possible, you know? And if they can see that and be inspired by that, then maybe you change one person's mind. And, you know, again, it's a process, which is like the theme of the
Yeah, it's a
day. But
process.
there's no bill that you can sign that's just gonna make it happen, you know. So it's work that has to be done, and it just starts with you know individuals, you know,
Have you?
and this podcast, of course,
Of
that will
course, of
reach the
course.
masses
Yeah,
and
it
sweep the
will.
nation,
Oh, yes, it will.
absolutely,
Say it again. Oh,
without
yes.
question.
Do you feel like you have like besides like your guy friends, which shout out to them, super dope friends. Do you
Indeed.
feel like you've had like male role models, like right? Because I still sometimes feel like I'm a child, so like adults in your
Oh yeah.
life.
Oh yeah. All of my male role models, especially my family, I feel like a child around. So like I look up to my brother, a huge deal.
Have you seen them
I'm
like
the
be vulnerable?
Yeah. I am really fortunate. I am not someone that grew up with like dudes that did not show love, or like I was loved. Like I'm not even, I'm people
Not
loved
gonna
me,
hold
they
you.
hugged me, they look, man, they played with me, they laughed with me, like, you know, I seen men cry. Like I ain't, none of that stuff was strange to me coming up. So they made it super com, and I guess they didn't want to raise someone that was gonna be toxic and like nuts, you know. So it made me really cool with you know, like even when I see my friends, like I hug my mans. Like it's like that's just love. That's how we show love in my family. That's just what it is. So
This is
I grew up definitely seeing guys be vulnerable. I definitely look up to my brother and how he's handled things and been a you know such a present figure, especially for his kids, and you know, be a you know good husband, provider. And I'm the youngest of six guys who are, we're all first cousins.
Okay.
So I'm the youngest, so they've all been positive influences. I think I'm sort of a hybrid of them all in some way. But I grew up watching all of them pretty much graduate college. Not that that's the ultimate thing, but it is a positive aesthetic, and I grew up with having goals of doing those kinds of things. And they're all, professionals now and thriving individually, well-read people, funny people, fun people. I had these figures around me that, wasn't a monolith. It wasn't just tough guys around me. It was jokesters, smooth dudes, people that could dress, nerdy, whatever. Like I seen it all, and I've seen it all be successful,
Got it.
So yeah.
Okay, so you're definitely very,
But I'm
very
not.
fortunate.
I don't take it exactly. I don't take it for granted. And
No.
I was having that conversation with my I call her my tia. I'm Panamanian, but I was having that conversation with her earlier. That like, look, we can't forget. We were talking about this. We were talking about why people don't go out to vote, and I'm just like,
Right.
there's people out there that their reality is so much
It's
different,
different.
man. Like people grow up with like drug addict parents and just wild stuff in their face, and they don't understand how this vote is going to change their reality right here, right now. And I can't say I blame them. I have a
Yeah,
different
because, yeah, because,
mentality because I experienced what I experienced, and I'm fortunate. But I don't choose where I get born. They didn't choose where they got born either. So it's like it's a weird thing.
Yeah, because people feel like, I know I grew up thinking that like abuse was very normal. And it wasn't until like I went to school, I went to college, and I took classes, and I'm like, wait, hold up. So what I've been going through this entire, like in my entire life is not normal. Like everybody doesn't do this. Everybody doesn't go through this. And it's like now in my healing journey is like rewiring those conversations that are literally in my DNA, are literally embedded in me, and figuring out different ways to cope with them, but also like actively choosing to change the connections.
Narrative.
Yeah, the narrative, exactly. The narrative of what it was. And like, I'll be honest, like I'm an anomaly in my family. Like everybody looks at me like, oh, you're weird. Like we don't do, and it's just like, no. So like I've normalized therapy, even the conversation like with my parents, just
Oh, that's important.
like just even in like dating, I'm always like, if if I'm talking to somebody, they'd be like, oh, so what you did today? I'm like, I went to therapy. I had a great session. Like I normalize it because it's normal, because it's real, and it's what's involved in my life, and it's what's important in my life. And it's like my healing journey is important. And I need
That's
everyone
important.
around me to understand that healing is important. Because if I'm if like me and you are friends and we're talking about, I'm talking to you about my healing, you're just like, nah, like get over it. Like nah, like that's a weak moment. Like you can't be like that energy.
It's a
Like,
red flag.
yeah, and that energy like it embodies you, and like it changes parts of you that it's like, wait, like I personally right now, I can't be around people who are negative. It doesn't work for me anymore. Like it like my spidey senses stand up, and I'm just like, okay, I need to get away from you. Like
No, I get it.
because I'm choosing to be more positive. I'm choosing to be as much as I can as to
Proactive.
be, yeah, proactive in my healing. Yeah, so it's like it's a thing, but it's amazing that you have that background on it, right? Because like most men don't, right? And
Oh,
like
no, I mean.
and you're able to see both sides of it. Like you're able to like experience your experience, but also have like your friends who may not have had those experience and still be. I mean, I feel like you're great at holding space like for those things.
Well, I like giving perspectives that people may not have considered.
Hence
That's
you're
like
the
that's the,
hence you're the writer.
yeah. So like that's so when I hear it could be about anything. If I hear perspective that I feel is too, it's not nuanced. I love nuance. I think that's the spice of life is nuance. And if you say something I feel is not nuanced enough, I just say, well, consider this. And I think that's essentially what you want to create within people. I think, if people thought were more nuanced, you get more people to be more considerate. I think when my parents divorced, I'm not sure what year this was. At some point, I knew what year it was. It was like 98, but when I don't know when I started this, but my mother like signed me up to go to therapy to like make sure I was good. Like I didn't think I needed it, and I honestly don't remember anything we talked about. I really just wanted to watch wrestling because it was on Saturday and it was getting in the way of my wrestling time. But I was opened up to just the idea that, hey, this is what people do when certain things happen to make sure that they okay in the head, you know. In the
It's
most
like
basic level, at least that's what it told me, you
going
know.
to the doctor when you're sick or going to your annual checkup. Like, yeah, it's a thing. I remember going to therapy too when I was 6. My brother was incarcerated, and I was in second grade, and I remember the school psychologist talking to me, and talking with puppets, and like that's as far as I remember. But like
Oh, that sounds amazing. That's way better than my session.
I mean, I actually don't remember what we spoke about, but I remember going to her office and playing with these hand puppets, and like, which in retrospect, like now thinking about it, like that's like play therapy, right? So like
Yes, it
for
is.
me, for me personally, I feel like I've had like social workers, psychologists in my life without even like knowing that like healing was always a part of my journey, just like in different aspects of it, right? And like, you know, you forget some things and you pick some things up, and like I think all of those experiences have manifest to where we're at today with like this podcast and just like allowing people to like to, 'cause you know in the first episode I let people know that like I'm a social worker, but I'm not licensed yet, so I'm not here for advice. I'm not here to give advice, should I say, but like our collective journey and healing is important. And if we're talking like, you know, we're talking about our experiences, and that experience can help someone else, then that's like the purpose, right? Like that's what it is. And ultimately, like, you know, I recorded my first episode and I sent it to some of my friends, and I'm like, this is definitely gonna be my healing. Like this is definitely like what I need from it. So it's a great tool. But so back to men and healing, right? Do you feel like men are taking more control of their healing than like in college or like times after that?
I would assume so. I would assume so because I think the conversation is just happening on a bigger scale. And although I don't believe people who work in the social services field are compensated
No, we're not. No, we're not.
on a level where the importance of mental health is being placed currently. I do think it is as important as it's being led on to be. I think people like, although he is a polarizing figure, people like Charlemagne writing books about mental health or talking about this stuff on a daily basis, I think is especially important for Black dudes to hear. Because I think he has played a role in much more of this conversation happening. If there's any good deed, any good thing he has brought to this world, part of his legacy, I think that'll be part of it. I think he makes a point when people are up at that show to always ask them if they're getting the help with these things that come with their fame, these emotions and just balancing these realities that they're coming across. So I do think it's definitely at a better place than it was even 8 years ago. You know, I think it's being normalized. But again, we are a minority as is, so it will still take time. But I do think people are taking the right steps to figure things out, even if it's in an informal way. Again, so if you're not actually going to see a therapist, you know, I do think that men in general are more open to hearing from other men about the things that they're dealing with and are more open to listen.
More
You know, so
so than like having a conversation with like women and stuff.
well, I can't really say. I think that was going on regardless. But I think men are probably more comfortable with feeling what they feel now, probably than they were, you know, in years past.
So do you think that with like, because I agree with you, like Charlamagne has definitely, because I've been listening to them since day one, right? And I feel like Charlamagne definitely has started a conversation and making it more normalized, because he had to like do what he had to do too to start healing the process.
Well,
Do you
he was
think
wilding. trying to sniff farts out of people. But so he's
and
definitely
like
changed a bunch.
sleeping on
And that.
the what was it one time that he said that he was sleeping on the air mattress and it was bloody because he was having sex with somebody, and like his crazy, not even craziness, but just like his craziness, like
he was doing
has
a
kind of
lot.
taken over. Yeah. And we definitely don't talk about what that looks like for boys in like high school. You know, like I'm really big on the teenagers and dealing with them and how their healing process is. So I'm in an all girls high school for my internship, but just thinking about it right now, like I wonder what it would be like and having these conversations with like all boys and having a boys group and leading that conversation from like an earlier age, which is obviously what I feel like we need to do in general to, you know, like change the narrative of black and brown kids around everything. It's like starting earlier.
I was involved in this was like I might have been in about I want to say sixth grade. They had this group come in to talk to the guys, and it was like a weekly workshop, let's say. It was called Rites of Passage, and all I remember is it was funny to us back then, but I do understand what they're trying to get at. And they had this basis of teaching us that there's a difference between males and men. And that was like their thing. And the idea was just, you know, men exhibit, you know, responsible behaviors, high character, you know, those types of things, trustworthy, so on and so forth. Males, you know, are like, they're not as disciplined. They don't have a plan. They're, you know, they don't have manners. They abuse, you know, things of that nature. So they would say everyone is male. Like everyone can be a male, but not everyone can be a man type of thing. And that was like the basis. I can't remember everything from the workshops. This is something
but
we
no,
have to
yeah.
sit in every week. But it was good to be exposed to that information, just on some level. And I think it does affect how you decide to live going forward. I'm not saying that all of us in the class 100%
no, of course not.
Follow things. No one does that. You got to live. But
especially
but
at
it's,
that
again
age.
It's yeah, but it was just good. It was just something to be good to be exposed to.
Yeah. You know? I agree. So do you feel like having a collective healing network / community would be beneficial for our Black and Brown community? Like do you feel like that would be something that men would want?
I don't know how much these things are on someone's mind, but I do know that even if you present somebody with this, even indirectly, I think it would be appreciated. So even if you could let a guy know, hey, you have my number, you link me anytime if you want to kick it, anything on your mind, whatever, it could be very informal. And it just in a way that wouldn't put somebody off. I think they would welcome it. So yeah, overall, I think that is something that they would want, even if they don't realize that that's something that they desire at the moment.
Yeah. I definitely think like social media too. I know I follow a couple of black men led IG pages regarding healing. I think one of them is, Therapy for Black Men or something like that. I'll put it in the link or something. Like they specifically put up these posts about like, you know, like Black King, have you thought about your healing today? Like, have you thought about like the way that you're showing up for this woman maybe not beneficial? Like just these things that like go out there, and I always like repost it because obviously like I follow a lot of people, but it's like we don't get a chance to talk about it like that. And I think that for women and for girls, we talk about these things. Like, you know, like my girls in my school, like they're, some of them are doing like the baby class, like where they're hosting a baby and doing that stuff. And I always ask them like, do the all boys school have that? And they were like, no, they don't. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like that's perpetuating like this stigma behind that. Like we should give the same services about like healing and how boys should be, like, you know, like the workshop you were saying, to boys too, right. Not only to girls. Like, I don't feel like there's enough services for young boys like that.
Oh, well, you know that there's a huge disparity in when it comes to that type of thing. I mean, no one is going taking me to the doctor to check my hymen out. You know what I mean?
So, oh, well, Lord.
So, I mean,
exactly.
Hey, there's a disparity in this world. I'm not even going to say it's I will say it's inherent.
Yes.
And it's up to us to like
change the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's, you know, but then you have, the part that's messed up is that someone like T.I. is in such a position that people can point to it.
Yep.
And the ignorant people be like, well, he does it.
You know, right, like, so I should.
He's T.I. Like, he does a lot of dumb shit.
Which is the same, right, which is the same platform we were talking about with Charlamagne. Like, he's using his platform to actually have, like, these real conversations. I haven't bought his books yet, but I know people who have read them, and it's just like, these things are real. People are going through this, but especially men are going through these things, especially our Black and brown men are going through these things, and nobody is talking about it, right? Like, nobody is putting a light on it, but we want to talk about women's hymens. Like, the fuck?
Well, I guess also we got to find ways to make it a thing and more accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no empowerment brunches for dudes. Dudes don't do that. That's not a dude thing to do, you know? And I'm not trying to crap on anyone that's into that, but I'm just saying it's not something that's marketed for men. That's not a man thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, you gotta find what works. What would work that dudes would come out to and have a good time and not think that they being like a Pop-Tart by attending.
Listen, you know? This sounds like a good, you know what, I wish, so I haven't premiered my full-on podcast yet, like in January. January 6th will be the full premiere, but like, this could totally be a thing. We'll talk more offline, because I'm super interested. I'm super interested. But okay, so to like close off our great conversation, so we're leaning towards having more collective for healing in general, right? Like, I think that's where we're going towards. That's what we need as a community. What we need to like heal, and I think it would heal us from and prevent us, should I say, from like incarceration and like, you know, abuse and all the other traumas that we as a community have and go through. Together.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So Khalil, I appreciate you so much, so much for coming on the show and
giving, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and just like, thanks for being so vulnerable and really having like these deep conversations with our viewers about like what it really means to be a man and healing, right? And like what that looks like for you.
Sure.
So our tradition in the show is to like ask some questions at the end, but more so like reflection questions for people to like carry on in the week before like the next episode comes out, right? So we start off by like, how can we be better for today than we were tomorrow in our healing? How can we be better individuals for ourselves in our healing? And what does that look like? How does that show up? How can we give ourselves the grace to be in that wiggle room / season of our healing? And how do we give ourselves grace in accepting the truths that are coming out, the changes that we want for ourselves, and move, touch, and inspire ourselves and others to heal all year? So, Khalil, thank you.
Oh, not a problem.
Appreciate you so much. I'm going to need you to ponder on these questions as well for the next week and reflect and manifest like the biggest contribution of healing with you.
For sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners as well. Like, thank you for tuning in and listening to us. Until next time.